through Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And tonight I just want to share a few thoughts relating to the Word of God and to our own souls, our understanding of it. I think that this portion speaks for itself, how wonderfully the psalmist found the law of God and the Word of God speaking to his heart. And I was telling the people on Sunday about Job, which is the oldest book in the Bible. In the 23rd chapter, he said to God, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. This man was covered in boils. He'd lost his family. His wife was against him. The devil was against him. He had lost his farm and his flocks. He had lost everything. And yet he was not asking God for health or family. He said, I have esteemed your words more than my necessary food. And so this was, to me, it was a great blessing when I read that. And I have noticed that as we get the Word of God into our hearts, as we allow God's Word to sweep across our souls and we read it and meditate on it. I was thinking about Billy Graham, the great evangelist. He is 95 years old today. In America, it's the 7th of November, and he's 95 years old. And I just have just read a lovely thing about that dear man who has spoken to more people than any other person, any other human being in history. He's won more souls under God, won more souls to Christ than any other person that we know of in history. God has blessed this man. And about the Word of God, when he was a young man, when he was very young, he just began to read the Word of God, and they were talking about going to Bible college. And then he had a friend, and this friend began to speak doubts into Billy's mind about the Word of God. And so Billy had some problems, but he said what he did was this. He went into the forest one night, and he put the Bible on a tree stump. And he said, I knelt down by the Bible, and I said to God, I don't understand everything in this book, but I want you to know that by faith, I accept it as your holy word. And he went from there to do all the things that I talked about. I met him in Vietnam, and he's the humblest man I've ever met in my life. And then the other day I heard... Now remember, he's 95 now, his body's very weak, he can hardly see, he can't hear very much at all. He's very old, he's missing his wife, who's gone to heaven already. And what do you think he's doing? You know what they said he's been doing? He's been putting up on the wall in his house texts of scripture about the cross of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Because he realizes that is the message, that cross. The whole of history is about that cross. The whole of what Jesus came into the world to do is about that cross. Without that cross, there's no heaven. Without that cross, there's no forgiveness of sin. Without that cross, there's no peace with God. So that cross is so, so important, and it must be preached and it must be lived in our lives. And the burden of what I want to share with you a little bit tonight is really, it relates to this, because I want to ask you, are you allowing God's cross in your life to deal with your self-life? Are you allowing the Lord to deal with your life, your inner life? Now let me tell you something quickly. You know me. If you're not reading the Word, much of it, and praying, you are a selfish person. You're full of self. Because the only way in this world not to be like that is to be close to God, close to His cross, close to His Word. The Word of God breaks us down. It breaks us down. It changes us. We wonder sometimes why we're like we are. We wonder why we're... It's because God, you're listening? God can't change us. God can't do anything for us. He can't penetrate where we are. We won't let Him. And so I was reading here about David. Look what this man says. You've made me wiser than the old people. I know more than my teachers. I know more than all these people. He didn't say he was smart. He didn't say he was intellectual. He's talking about the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God's Word, the knowledge of God's wisdom. And where does it all come from? It comes from God Himself. You think about this. Just think about this for a moment. I'm going to be preaching about Jesus and His deity on Sunday, God helping me. And I've just been studying for hours on this portion of Scripture, not this one, but on those, to get ready for that message. I hope you come. But you know what? Why did Jesus Christ come into the world? He came into the world to die on the cross. That's why He came. He came to die on the cross. He was born to die. That's why He came. And the only way that we can get near Him is through that cross. You can't come to Him. You can't get near Him unless you come by the way of the cross. And this man, David, what made him so wise? It was God's Holy Word. It was God's Holy Spirit. There are three basic things that you need in your life if you're going to live the kind of Christian life you should be living. You need the ministry of the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Spirit to bring the Word of God to you, to interpret the Word of God to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. Changed what? By the Spirit of the Lord. We are changed by the Holy Ghost. Let me turn to that verse. How does the Holy Ghost change us? In that context, how does He do it? What He does, He applies Christ to our hearts. We are changed into the likeness of Jesus. You remember those disciples when they did some things, the people said, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They could see by the things that they did that they had been with Jesus. Have you been with Jesus? Have you been with Him today? Have you been talking to Him? Has He been talking to you? Is the Spirit of God moving the Word of God in your heart to open your heart to receive Jesus in your life? Because that's what it's all about. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. The Lord's glory are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Some of us have been playing around with our Christianity. We're just playing around with it. Now, I'll tell you what I mean. What I mean is we just go along. We don't do anything really bad. We just carry on like this. If you do not have an absorbing love for Jesus, if you do not desire the Lord with all your heart, if you do not have an ache in your heart for God, if you do not desire to know the Word of God, you may not even be a Christian. You probably are, but you need a lot of help. And you know what's so sad about this? You can stay like that for 5 years, and we will keep making excuses for you, and you will keep making excuses for yourself. But this book says we are to be changed. And well, why aren't you changing? Why aren't I changing? It's because we're not coming to the Lord. It's because we're not coming to His Word. We're not getting near to Him. But you say, well, I read the Word. Okay, that's wonderful. I'm not talking about reading the Word exactly. I'm talking about meeting God in His Word. I'm talking about dealing with your sin. Dealing with it. Things that are between you and God. Sometimes I come across people who've got things in their lives, I'm talking about Christians, that have been sitting there for years. And this is why they never do anything for God. They never do anything bad. They never do anything good. They're not unhappy, but they're not happy. They just don't have the peace of God. Then the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to Titus, I noticed that when he was writing to Titus, I'm going to read to you from the third chapter, and I think it's the third verse. Now notice that what Paul is saying. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. We ourselves, he's talking about himself. We ourselves and you also were sometimes foolish. Now, what is that word foolish? I looked it up in the Greek. It actually means thoughtless. You just don't think about it. You don't care about it. You're a fool in the eyes of God. Disobedient. That word disobedient, you know what it means? It actually means this. It means that, well, you know you should do it, but it doesn't really matter if you don't. That's being disobedient to God. You know you should do it. You know that every day you live when your focus is on you is a day less with God. It's a day less with God. You can't be disobedient, deceived, under deception, under the mark, under the rod of Satan, deceived. This is what Paul said. You used to be like this, serving many lusts and pleasures. You used to be serving your lusts and your pleasures. You used to wish evil on people, lived in malice and envy. You were envious of other people who had things, or were better than you, or better looking than you, or had something that you didn't have. Hateful and hating one another. Now I want to ask you a question. Are any of you still like this? Are you still foolish? Are you still thinking in your heart, it doesn't really, I'm thoughtless, you don't even think about it? And if you didn't hear my voice saying what I say to you, I want to ask you a question. Would you do what you should be doing? Or are you disobedient? You know what is right, but you won't do it. You know what? You've got the whole of God and heaven waiting for you. What do you think God is doing? Where's God's heart tonight? Where's God's heart? Let's talk about us Christians. Where do you think God's heart is? Do you honestly believe that God's heart is right on us? Wrong. It's not. His heart is on the lost. His heart is on the lost. You see, this portion that Sister read out tonight from Ezekiel, she read from the sixth verse. Had she gone back to the fourth verse, she would have seen that what God actually said was, I found you the moment that you were born. You were lying there in your blood. You were a baby. You hadn't even been washed. What I did, I washed you. I suppled you with oil. I did all these things. And I looked after you all the way down from that place where I found you lying on the ground where nobody wanted you. And I took you all the way to where you were wearing nice clothes and you looked beautiful. All the way from here to here. That's where God's heart is. Do you understand me? He's yearning for the lost. I cannot speak about the cross of Jesus Christ at the beginning of a message and then say, well, okay, we'll put the cross aside while we talk about ourselves. Read the epistles. Read the Acts of the Apostles. The whole burden is reaching other people. Reaching out, trying to do it. Why don't we do it? Because we're so occupied with ourselves. We're so occupied with ourselves that we just don't have time for what God wants to do. And so what does God do? He just sits in hurt silence. He sits in hurt silence. He's not going to change his way. He's not going to change his attitude for you and me. And so I was really struck by this portion because he says, we were like this. But I fear that some of us are still like this. This is what's in our heart. I didn't look at my notes, but I started with reading about Psalm, just let me finish with a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 4, where God says, verse 5, Behold, I have taught you statutes, well, Moses is speaking here, and judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land, whether you're going to possess it. So where are you going to go? I've told you what to do. Keep, therefore, these commandments and judgments, and do them. For this is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who has God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? I could go on, only take heed to yourself, and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your sons and to your sons' sons. That's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 4. So what God is saying is, look, when you do these things, when you imbibe my word, when you concentrate on me, when you fill your life with what comes from me, what's going to happen is the nations around you will say, what kind of nation is this? So wise and understanding. And that's what the ungodly will say about us when we live for Jesus. When we live for Jesus. You know, we have to preach the cross. We have to share the cross. And I just exhort you tonight to look into your own heart and see if there's anything in there in your life that's stopping you from what God wants you to do. Stopping you. See if you're being foolish and disobedient and serving lusts. You know what happens? Serving lusts and pleasures. Listen to me. This is what happens. We're supposed to have our affections on God. Our love on God. We're affections for the Lord. But when those affections are not for the Lord, but for the world, for looking beautiful, for owning things, for the things that have taken, have, when our thoughts are on those things, what happens is our affections move away from God and those affections turn into lusts. And now what happens then is we lust after things and our body, our whole life begins to rotate around it. So what do you think happens after that? I'll tell you what happens after that. What happens is that Satan begins to work upon our affections, work upon our lusts, work upon our body, and takes us right away from God. That's what he does. Because he's got the upper hand on us. The only way that God can have control over us is for God to have our hearts. And you cannot say that God has your heart when your feet go in the paths of unrighteousness. You cannot say that God has your heart when your eyes don't have time for his word. And you cannot say that God has your heart when your lips don't have time to talk to him. So simple, isn't it? It's just so simple, but it's so wonderful. And you know what, friends? Just make it your spiritual business to make sure that all you are belongs to God. That's all you have to do. And what will happen is he'll get hold of you and he'll start using you in other people's lives, and he'll start using you for his burden. And his burden is those for whom Christ died on the cross. Why should a man go to hell when the Savior died for him, bled for him, prayed for him, did everything, and the only reason why he's going to go to hell is because nobody will tell him. Nobody will tell him. You have to do what you can. You know, the man came here and put those things on the stairs today. Went into my study, got my checkbook out, and I started writing out this check. But you know what I did? I gave him the check. He signed the receipt. I don't know who he is, I only know his name is Dan. And he just went to stand up, and I said, put my hand on his arm, and I said, you know, I'm a man who prays, and I want to pray for you. What is your girlfriend's name? Because he'd gone outside with his cell phone and taken a photo of the roses and sent it to her, and she texted him straight back and said, it's so wonderful, you know how they go, these young people, when they're in love. But anyway, so I said, I want to pray, and I did, and I prayed for him, and I prayed for her. You got any children? No. I say, Lord, in your time, when you bring children into their lives. Now, what do you think's going on here? I'll tell you what's going on. 6 months? 1 year? 5 years, I don't know when, from now, something will happen to him and he'll remember that prayer. He'll remember the reality. Just for 2 minutes, spiritual reality in his life, just for 2 minutes, and then he's gone. But he will never forget it, you understand? Because when we're in the presence of Jesus, he changes things. Now, we owe it to the world to bring that presence to them. I began by talking about our dear friend Billy Graham. And I've heard him preach. And I remember a man in India, he was preaching in India. And he was preaching on the second coming of Christ. And the man said, remember that tens of thousands of people were there. And the man said, as Dr. Graham preached on the second coming of Christ, he said, I was afraid to look up into the sky in case he was there. That's preaching. And that's the presence of God. That's our burden. We have to bring people into the presence of God. That's why I try and get them to the prayer meetings, and I try and get them to hear the word. Not because there's anything great among us, but because God is there. God is there.